This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, everybody. Lots going on, man. We are going to talk to a guy that covers the NCAA men's tournament. He covers men's basketball, as a matter of fact. But he'll help us break down everything that went down with selection committee. The big news for just you casual fans is the SEC is dominant in this year's basketball tournament, and it hasn't always been that way, and that's fun, and this is the way we hope that it, you know, continues to be. And Mike, when we talk about, you know, where the SEC should be, this is what we say with Georgia. There's no reason it shouldn't be on par with Alabama and Auburn or Tennessee, right, or even Kentucky at this point with the new rules. And the new rules guys are NIL, the transfer portal.
Right. That's why I just, you know, some guys felt you're a little hard on Coach White. No, I just felt that it's time for Georgia. If not now, when? You know, you don't really have that buildup. You know, you would have to, if you inherited a bad program, coach got fired for a reason, you got to, you know, you got to beat the bushes, get the recruiting built up and all that. You know, there's tremendous players in the state of Georgia. What's kept you in the past from keeping them? We always talked about it. They go to Auburn, they go to Alabama, they go everywhere. But now with NIL and Georgia's, you know, with the fan base and the boosters' interest in the program, that's why I was saying it's kind of self-sustaining. You got to give them something. It's a carrot and stick. Give those boosters something to want to throw some money at if you go win a game or two in the tournament.
I'm happy that Mike White got in. I'm happy that Georgia is one of those 14 teams. And you know, because I said last week, I wasn't sure. Like, again, it all depended on how these tournaments were going to play out, these conference tournaments. Mike, if you had more upsets with teams that were already scheduled to be in, and then the upset teams would have gotten in, it would have pushed teams that were on the bubble out, which is why North Carolina got in, because Memphis ends up winning their conference championship. So you just have to wait and see, but it shouldn't have been that way. I felt like Georgia should have prepared, or at least had won enough games where we felt comfortable enough, but we just didn't know. Either way, they're in, and now I'd like to see them make a run. And what's a run mean? Sweet 16. You make a Sweet 16 run, Mike, that's two wins. Win the first weekend and get to the second weekend, right, then you've done something, I think, in the tournament.
Well, again, if you beat Gonzaga and beat Houston, that's, I mean, that Mike White, I'd have a parade for him down there. We'll go right down Lumpkin, wherever you want in Athens, and go crazy. But, yeah, Houston with the defense, you talked about it. Gonzaga, as Carl said, not the Gonzaga you're used to seeing. If you watch them against St. Mary's and the WCC that we played on our station, it's not the kind of same kind of school that you're used to seeing, as Andy Bunker pointed out today. But, yeah, man, I mean, the 5-12s, everyone's got their bracket, all their usual routines that you go for. But we'll see. If Georgia, here's the thing. If all these SEC teams are chalk, and that's what everybody in ESPN was making it sound like, you got two number ones and two number twos going all the way.
Part of the reason why some people, not everybody, feels this way, because you're going to get upsets, guys. It's too unpredictable.
And by the way, I always say, you have to remember that some of our audience does not know. Chalk means basically as written.
Correct.
So basically the higher seed's just going to prevail, so that's when you hear the phrase chalk. It just means the favorites advance.
All right, so but this is why they believe that, Mike. And we'll ask C.L. Brown about this coming up here in less than 10 minutes. If you feel like the SEC was the best basketball conference this year in the country, it was, then that means they played the hardest schedule. It's very similar to what we talk about in football. Every year we talk about the SEC schedule and how nobody around the country plays the schedule of any of the teams, whether it's LSU, Alabama, Georgia, doesn't matter. And then you get to the end of the season and you feel like they're more prepared for the playoff. That is why people feel like chalk for the SEC is going to happen. They played the toughest schedule. Mike, you had no off nights this year in the SEC.
Right.
It didn't matter what gym you were in, so you had to show up. And then, you know, for example, Texas A&M. You go to Texas A&M, they beat Auburn early this year.
Right.
You had no off nights. So are you more prepared heading into this tournament based on your regular season schedule and then what you went through in your conference tournament? That is why I think a lot of people think there'll be five or six teams advancing, at least in the SEC. Some of these teams are going to get beat, but I think they'll still have the most teams in the year.
But that's why you pointed out. I mean, Alabama and Auburn won two as far as the strength. Imagine having an Iron Bowl basketball championship. Woo! I mean, that really does mean more. And then they'll have more people around the country hating the SEC for being the big monster that it is. Kentucky strength of schedule is third. Arizona comes in fourth. So I know we've gotten to this, like this, the new language is quad, you know, quad one. And that's why Carolina fans are saying, we're happy to be in this play-in, when a lot of other schools like West Virginia had much better records against ranked competition.
I got to say this, and then we'll get to an NFL fourth and one. What, especially for this tournament, but what it has allowed, NIL and the portal has allowed these other programs to do is catch up. There was a time where you weren't going to catch North Carolina, Mike. You weren't going to catch Duke. They recruited too well. You know, whether they were paying players or not before it was legal, they just had too much in place.
Right.
And now, if you look at this tournament, here's the deal. Women's tournament is going to be bananas, by the way. Okay? I don't know if you're in women's basketball, but their star power, just like there was last year with Caitlin Clark, and the women are great. But there's some dominant teams on the women's side. Nobody knows who the hell is going to win this tournament on the men's side.
That's my only interest. You know, when it comes to like why am I less interested in the women's, it's always about five or six schools that dominate. You know, South Carolina and USC. And there's, I mean, in men's basketball, you know, now you can look at the SEC as a new emerging powerhouse. You always have your blue bloods like Duke, but Houston's perennial. But it always seems like the men, there's a better chance for the long shot or the upset than you get in the women's, technically in the women's bracket.
I mean, yeah.
What's Mulkey? She's like 22-1 in the first round at LSU.
It's crazy. Yeah, and she's got another good team. I mean, like, but that's the thing about this, and that's why it's so unpredictable. Hey, I want to remind you, speaking of the tournament, there's no better place to watch the opening rounds of the college basketball championship than Hooters. And we'll be watching along with you this Thursday and Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Join us Thursday at Hooters Cumberland for a special broadcast. Dukes and Bell, we will be there as I speak in third person. And Friday for a special broadcast of Andy and Randy, Hooters in Kennesaw. So that's next Thursday, obviously this Thursday at Hooters Cumberland, and Friday at Hooters Kennesaw, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right.
Georgia, by the way, strength of schedule or the power index is 38 this year. The number one, Duke, Houston, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee. This is according to ESPN's metrics.
Tough schedules, man. That's why they're so good. Hey, Big O, let's get to fourth and one. So they did it. We're talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. Mike, is this the formula? The Bengals officially sign not only Ja'Marr Chase, we told you he was going to become the highest paid receiver, but they take care of T. Higgins. So Joe Burrow gets what he wants. He gets his guys. The offense is probably going to score a lot of points as they have, Mike. But is this a Super Bowl formula that the Bengals are trying to possess here? Because now look at how much money that is invested in both wide receivers and their quarterback.
Yeah, I know. We talk about Miami. The way Miami has spread out Jalen Waddle's money, it does get bigger and bigger and bigger for them as far as the cap hit. By the 2027, he's 10% of their cap. But the way they've spent the money, that's why we've talked about the Dolphins. If the Bengals can do what the Dolphins did, now they still have no money for anything else. If you notice, the Dolphins' defense has been a real problem last couple of years. And how you don't bring back Trey Hendrickson when the Bengals were saying they're going to find a way to do all three. There's only so much money, unless Joe Burrow's going to basically work for nothing, Carl. It's hard to see how they make that happen.
I agree, man. Look, Burrow gave up some money. They restructured, right? So that allows them to pay T. Higgins 4 years, $115 million. And then Ja'Marr Chase gets $161 over 4 years. Those are the two deals, and I would have never thought, Mike, that, again, the Bengals would do this. I thought they were going to choose one or the other. And then, of course, they had T. Higgins' franchise tag, but they had, you know, up until, I think, the middle of June to get a deal done. So now Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, now have officially combined their average combined per year salary, $69 million.
Yeah, I mean, it really dwarfs, T. Higgins dwarfs the Jalen, not dwarf, but it's a lot bigger than the Jalen Waddle deal, and we've always used that as the template. Like, look at the Dolphins. They kind of focused on one side of the football, and now they've struggled. They haven't won anything, right? But if we're honest, playoff game-wise.
No.
And now if you're Cincinnati, you're in that really rugged division, and we know that Joe Burrow's going to move some money around, unless they're going to just focus their entire draft on defense and just restock it with young guys and just use our business model of scoring a ton of points, because they're going to have to. But last year, they were scoring in the 40s and still finding ways to lose.
So the duo that has won a Super Bowl, and this is the irony, is A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith. Now, remember, the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown, drafted DeVonta Smith. Bengals have not even come close to drafting like the Eagles. Not even close. The reason why A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith are Super Bowl champions is not because combined they're making $57 million. That's third on the list behind Mike Minchin, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, and now Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, who've won jack. The reason is they've drafted well enough on the defensive side, Mike, to have a complete team around them.
Right.
So that is the difference. Like, everybody wants to use A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith as the example. Oh, well, the Eagles did it. Yes, but look at what else the Eagles have done. And A.J. Brown was a guy that they traded for and then paid, obviously. I still don't think this is the way that you do it, but I know the Bengals, and certainly Joe was scared that he was going to lose these guys.
Well, for years, I mean, the knock was you don't spend that big money on the wide receiver. That was the Patriot way. The Patriots never committed big money to wide receivers. They did give both. Remember, now, it was, at the time, a pretty good-sized deal. Both, it was Aaron Hernandez and Gronk both got contracts at tight end. But, you know, then they worked like almost like de facto wide receivers.
Sure.
But, yeah, you get back to it. Tyreek Hill, he got his biggest payday going to Miami, not when he was with Kansas. He got paid at Kansas City, but obviously he doubled that going over there. So it's sort of a philosophical thing. How do you approach it? Well, Howie Roseman can do it all. He's got, you know, those guys take up about 11% of the cap this year combined, DeVonta Smith and A.J. Brown, which is interesting. But they've still got, you know, all these other guys on the defense on rookie contracts.
Chase, by the way, $40.2 million. Highest non-paid quarterback in the National Football League.
Eclipsing the Myles Garrett deal.
Correct. Garrett, Crosby.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Jefferson, his former teammate, they're all right there, 35, 35, 40. But just Ja'Marr just surpassed those guys as the highest paid non-quarterback. 404-726-0929. And other news in our fourth and one segment brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike Kyle Juszczyk goes back to the 49ers. He was entertaining offers elsewhere. 2 years, $8 million. He just fits perfectly with Shanahan's offense. And I think he was visiting the Steelers. I think it was last week. And I was like, well, that's a place that he could go because Arthur Smith would definitely use him. But at 33, he goes back to where he's always been.
Yep, so basically, you took a little off the top. He comes back for less money, but he still gets himself a little signing bonus. So at the end of the day, his wife is very, I guess it was a girlfriend or wife. The wife was tweeting about how upset she was. But they're happy about that. We talked earlier about the Kirk Cousins situation. Yes, the $10 million is picked up. But if somebody trades for him, that's a them problem. So it's not as big a deal as Carl pointed out last week, and we'll wait and see where that goes. The Aaron Rodgers conversation, all of a sudden in the last 48 hours, heats up that the Vikings are kicking the tires on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and I just look, he's got choices. I'm just curious to know where he's going to pick. Where does Aaron Rodgers think that his best opportunity to go to a Super Bowl, where is that with the teams that are available and that want him right now? Mike, by far, it's Minnesota.
Well, according to Pete Bursich, Carl, from Fox, whatever it is in Minnesota, Minneapolis, he says 20% chance Vikings sign Aaron Rodgers. But they're exploring all their options. And as we said, if you believe that, you know, J.J. McCarthy is going to be a learning curve coming off the injury, and Aaron Rodgers has a level of, like, you plug it into 28 touchdowns and 10 picks, that's Kirk Cousins-like numbers. You know what you're getting.
It really is. One other news note, guys. We signed our corner, and that's A.J. Terrell. But Derek Stingley Jr. with the Texans, former LSU corner, 3 years, $90 million, Mike. It makes him the highest paid corner in the NFL. $89 million is guaranteed. So,
okay. Nice get.
Average annual value, blah, blah, blah. It surpasses J.C. Horn, who got a 4-year, $100 million deal with Carolina that averages about 25. This is going to average more than that. Here's what's crazy. And Stingley's coming off an all-pro season, 5 interceptions, 18 pass breakups. He's a ball hawk. He's a player. Guys, I saw that 2019 LSU team beat the snot out of Georgia in the SEC championship game. Mm. And now you're seeing all these dudes that were on that team. Justin Jefferson, Chase, Burrow, Derek Stingley Jr., Mike, all get paid. All these guys combined have almost $700 million in contracts. That was the best team in the SEC that year. And now you're seeing all these guys get the deals in the NFL. It's crazy. Coming up, we're going to talk about the tournament. C.L. Brown joins us. He's a columnist with the Courier-Journal, covers the NCAA, covers men's basketball. We'll ask him about all these SEC teams and much more next. It's always a fun time of year. Tournament starts right around the corner. The Masters. Baseball is going to get underway here. By the way, if you missed it, Spencer Strider was electric today in his first spring start. We're going to talk more about it. Just good news for the Braves. But right now, we got to talk about the hoops. C.L. Brown is going to join us. He is a columnist for the Courier-Journal. He also does some hoop stuff, clbrownhoops.com. He's done a variety of things that you can check out. And, C.L., we appreciate you joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We know, and Mike and I have been talking a lot about the SEC. I want to get your thoughts on the conference. It's a selection committee with 14 teams. Overrated or well-deserved?
Oh, well-deserved for sure. You could nitpick and say at the bottom of the standings that Texas didn't deserve to get in or Oklahoma. You could nitpick if you really wanted to, but this is something that we haven't seen ever before, and I think part of it is a byproduct of expansion and conferences being so big now, but I wouldn't doubt if something like this happens in a different conference in the future where the overwhelming majority of the teams get in and they have a dominating season. But I'll say this, that still doesn't mean that the national champion is going to come from the SEC.
Right. Yeah, man, I know that it's a lot of chalk. I was telling Carl, CL, watching the ESPN selection show, I mean, they're just rolling over. Oh, it's all SEC. 2 ones and 2 twos. But who is likely to maybe be the monkey with the wrench? Do you say Houston, St. John's?
I definitely think Houston could. I'm honestly not as high on Duke as a lot of people are. I have questions about how they'll perform in close games. All we've seen is Cooper Flagg slipping on a banana peel when it matters in the closing seconds, as he did against Kansas and Clemson. So I'm not sold on Duke. But and out of the SEC, probably 2 weeks ago, I would have said Auburn was my favorite to win it all. But the way they kind of stumbled down the stretch, I think that they peaked too early and they're headed in the wrong direction. I would probably say St. John's is one of my strong, you know, non-number one seeds to maybe cut down the nets. I also like Houston very much. And somebody that's not chalk, I'd probably go with somebody crazy like BYU to be a surprise team in the Final Four. I don't think they can win it all necessarily, but I do think we're going to see a team like that get to the Final Four that nobody's really talking about right now.
We're talking to C.L. Brown, guys, about the tournament. Selection committee happened yesterday. Tournament starts, actually, the play-in games are going to start tomorrow on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then, of course, Thursday we get to the actual tournament. Let's talk about Florida. They're complete, though. And I've watched them enough this season, C.L., to say they can beat you in many different ways. Where do you see them? Do you have them getting to the Final Four? And then if what's their biggest challenge in the West?
I haven't actually picked my Final Four yet, but Florida, I love the way that they're playing now. I've always liked Walter Clayton's game and the way that him and Will Richard kind of work together in that backcourt. March comes down to guard play, and they have guys who can handle the ball, handle the pressure, make big shots. They've proven all of that. They've got serviceable bigs. I mean, they're really a team that's put it all together this season, which I was kind of surprised at how well they came together. I thought, especially early on when the allegations and the investigation happened with Todd Golden, their coach, I thought that they were going to kind of tank. But the investigation, he got cleared, and everything has kind of gotten on track. I do wonder, though, if now that everybody is paying attention to college basketball, and there'll be probably a fresh set of reporters, some news outlets who bring that back up, and who knows what happens with some accusers wanting to talk now or that kind of thing. Who knows if that might be something that derails Florida. But on the court in the West, I see Maryland as a team that could sneak up on Florida. I love the play of Derek Queen, their freshman. And they've been battle-tested through the Big Ten. I think they could be a surprise team. As I mentioned earlier, St. John's, the way that Rick Pitino has them playing, especially defensively. The thing about St. John's is I don't think they shoot it well enough on a consistent basis to get over the hump. But the way they play defense, they can take you out of what you like to run. So those would probably be the two teams out of the West, I think, that could challenge Florida most.
It is C.L. Brown, guys. He works up there in Louisville. And, again, breaking down some college hoops. What's the vibe up there in Louisville and the state of Kentucky? Calipari, obviously, Arkansas. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's going to take a minute to turn that around. But now with the transfer portal at NIL, you'd think it'd be quicker. What do you think of Calipari?
Well, the mood in Louisville is big mad because Louisville deserved better than an 8 seed. Mm. But I also think that Bruce Pearl is going to be big mad if Louisville beats Creighton and they have to play Louisville in Rupp Arena in Lexington.
Yep.
It will be another road game essentially for Auburn. And as the number one overall seed, they probably should have been protected a little bit better than that. But I think Kentucky on the flip side, going up to Milwaukee to play in the Midwest region in the first rounds, they're kind of just limping to this. Lamont Butler's kind of been beat up. His shoulder got re-injured when they beat Oklahoma in the SEC tournament. They actually said it was a different injury from his other left shoulder injury earlier in the year, but he makes them go. They're not great defensively, but he's the guy at the point of attack that kind of spearheads and sets the tone, and when he's not in there, they lose a lot at point guard. And so, and they already lost Jackson Robinson for the entire year. They lost Kirk Crissa earlier in December for the entire year. So I would think their chances were better if they were healthy, but they're kind of just limping down the stretch. So I don't know how far Kentucky can get in this tournament. And I don't think there's a big, I think there's a lot of skepticism from UK fans, if they're being honest as well.
Injuries have really set them back. There's no debating it. C.L. Brown joining us, Courier journalist, columnist for the Courier Journal, that is, and covers college basketball. So, look, one of my picks early in this tournament is, and I know you said you like BYU, but I really like VCU. And they won their third A-10 men's basketball championship over the weekend. And, you know, I don't know if people remember VCU, their big upset years ago was beating Duke, and it kind of put them on the map. But yeah, I think this team, I don't know if they're as talented, but they have all the makings to make it a tough situation for BYU. And I kind of got them advancing, you know, through the first weekend. What do you think about this VCU team?
No, I agree with you. I actually hate that they're matched up with BYU because I think both of those teams are good. And, you know, when I would put a wager down or two during the course of the season, VCU was a team that, that has made me money in the regular season. So I agree. I think Jack Clark, their 6'10 senior, he's kind of been a bunch of different places. He's Mr. Versatility, though. He started off at LaSalle. He played a year at NC State, played a year at Clemson. And he's as solid as an inside-out stretch four kind of guy as there is in for a mid-major school. I think he can get hot sometimes from three and carry them. I like the play of Max Schulga, 6'5 forward that they have, senior. They got a lot of experience, and I do think that they could put things together too. It wouldn't totally shock me if they beat BYU, but before they named the brackets, I was like BYU. So I had to think of what I was talking about before the brackets came out as well. But it will definitely be a high scoring game in that first round against BYU. And if they did advance, possibly facing Wisconsin in that second round, I think would also be a favorable matchup for VCU.
Hey, man, now you can fill out my bracket right now. CL's breaking it down. CL Brown, guys, from the Louisville Colonel Courier Journal. He joins here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What about Georgia? They were shaky. They blew some leads. They got blown out, and they got on a nice run. They beat Florida. Unfortunately, first-round exit in the SEC, and they draw Gonzaga. What do you see for Georgia in this tournament?
Yeah, Georgia at one point I thought was basically dead in the water when they had that four-game losing streak, and they lost to, I think, Auburn was the final game out of that four-game losing streak. And you got to credit Mike White for getting things turned around with the big win against Florida where they almost blew that lead, but being able to finish it out down the stretch and kind of get on a roll going into the postseason with not the loss to Oklahoma in the SEC tournament notwithstanding. I think Gonzaga kind of comes from a similar place where I expected more from Gonzaga earlier in the year, and it seemed like things were getting away from them early, but they righted the ship as well. It'll be an interesting style matchup, but Georgia has talent. Georgia has some big talent on the team, and I think Newell will give Gonzaga some problems inside. I think it's going to be a good game. I probably would lean towards Gonzaga right now, but I still think the fact that Georgia got things together and Mike White got them back to the tournament after a long drought, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, I like Georgia. I'm with you on this. I know you're not ready to pick it, but I'm taking Georgia. I think people are just caught up in the name. This is not the team of a few years ago for Gonzaga. CL, man, great job. Where can people find your stuff, man? I know you're doing a variety of things.
Yeah, at the courier-journal.com is the website for the columns, and my social media sign on is CL Brown Hoops. I'm on Blue Sky social media a lot more now than anywhere else, but you can find me. You can find me wherever you can Google CL Brown Hoopset.
Sounds good, man. We'll appreciate you stopping by. Good info, and we'll talk soon.
All right, appreciate you guys for having me.
Quick story, when I mentioned the Duke upset. So 2007, I'm calling games for University of Houston. We go play VCU at VCU, Mike.
Right.
And VCU wins by like 12. And they were just so good, and they had great guards, and they had a kid by the name of Eric Maynor. And that year, I left, and I kept telling everybody, VCU is going to do some damage in the tournament. And everybody's like, who did they get? Who they draw? And they draw Duke. And
that was the middle of the Shaka Smart's run?
Correct. No, this was a guy named Anthony Grant was the head coach at the time. He had left Florida. He had coached Al and those guys at Kim Joa and all those guys. Won a national championship and then went there. And I kept telling everybody, they're going to do damage. And they draw Duke. And everybody's like, oh, VCU's done. And the Maynard kid, the kid that was killing University of Houston that year, had an amazing game and actually hit the game winner to beat Duke. And I think they won two games in that tournament, if I remember correctly. But that kind of put VCU on the map. I'm just telling you, Don't be surprised if they win this game against BYU in the first round and then go on to play Wisconsin. 404-726-0929. We'll see what happens with the tournament. More on this coming up. Josh Pastner is going to join us later in the show around 6 o'clock. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. And Connor Riley is going to join us at 4 o'clock for the Dog Report, guys. Spring practices. We get caught up over the weekend. What happened and what's been going on with the Dogs? We'll find out at 4. But coming up next, Yeah, Man, No Man. Coming up, we're going to talk with our buddy Connor Riley from Dog Nation. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy St. Patty's Day. You going to have some green beer today? What you doing, man?
Actually, I did all my celebrating over the weekend. This is detox time, so it's going to be a dry St. Patrick's Day for me.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the wife's going out of town, and I mean, I don't think you can count the dog as someone to drink with. Oh, some people would argue that. So, no, don't drink alone. That's always a sign. So, tonight will just be, Carl, as Will Garrett would say, quiet contemplation.
Really? Yes. I'm shocked. I thought you might get a brew or something.
No, I mean, we hit it hard yesterday. I had the kilt on yesterday. Did all the shenanigans and had a lot of fun. Played some golf.
Yeah.
Terrible. Absolutely. Front nine, outstanding. 44 for me, I'll take. And then absolutely fell apart in the back. So, it's happened before.
Because of the brew?
A little bit.
Okay.
Well, again, one serving.
Well, it happens, man. My golf partner.
I'm only allowed one serving now, guys, per round.
The guys I play with, like, there's a guy named Stu, and he's always like, I'm not drinking because I always fall apart when I drink. And then he's playing terrible in the first nine. He's like, I need a drink. And then he falls apart.
Yeah, this was more mechanical. This is more like the back from chopping. I was, I had the axe. I was weird. You and I were doing, like, manly man stuff with the yard after the storm this week.
Yeah, I had the chainsaw. I don't know, axing for me.
Well,
man.
I'm taking out the roots because now I chopped the trees down again. So now I'm going to, Carl. If this lawn, I swear to God, I can't get this lawn growing this summer, I'm selling the damn house. After all the, I've been asking questions about this lawn. Remember we had Coach Dooley on years ago? It might be a little early, Kyle, to plant some zoysia. Very hot out there.
It was the soil.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with the timing, but sometimes I've told you, get your soil tested, man. People are like, I'm just going to plant. You don't even know if your yard is capable of growing what you're putting in there.
I got red clay, rocks, and roots. Roots, rocks, red clay, as Bob Marley would say.
Yeah, if you dig down far enough, we're all going to run into red dirt. Trust me, it's Georgia. All right, man, we got to get to Yeah, Man, No Man. Turtle, you sound like I did last week, sir. You sound like I did.
Yeah.
Right here.
Not good.
Doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I got a PSA, though, for my lovely Georgians and Atlantans.
What's that?
Don't clog the streets during a parade.
What happened?
There are several times during the year that I must navigate from my home on Peachtree Street to the other end of Peachtree Street, and there's a parade going on, which is fine. Have your merriment. There's several during the year.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, there was St. Patrick's Day. I've been through the Comic-Con parade. I've been through the Pride parade. I'm not yucking anybody's yums. Have your fun, but have some etiquette. You're not supposed to be standing in the middle of the sidewalk. There's a parade lane, and you must stay in it. I was tripping over dogs, people drinking, people smoking cigars.
Well, that's St. Patrick's Day.
All standing in the middle of the sidewalk.
Well, I mean, the sidewalk is how you view the parade. You can't be in the middle of the street.
No, but you are supposed to be lined up along the curb.
Oh, you want uniformity, Carl.
Uniformity.
Oh, wow. Gotcha.
There is no walking lane. I was tripping over people left and right. I don't want to disrupt your fun.
Where was the cops? Where were the police?
What the hell is Chris talking about? Expect everybody's supposed to be like, Chris is expecting everybody like it's like in New York on Fifth Avenue. Everybody's supposed to be like a line of five, all in like perfect uniformity. What the hell? It's Atlanta.
Macy's Thanksgiving parade gets it right every year.
Yeah.
The people are lined up. You can't just hang out in the middle of the sidewalk.
You need a walkway.
Yeah.
I mean, gotcha.
I don't know. When I used to live in Spire, that party would, you take a break, you'd go upstairs, you have a brew, come back, you're conversing with your neighbors. What the hell are you complaining about?
No, Mike, you can go upstairs and have a brew and come back and take a time out, but you're not doing that while standing in the middle of the sidewalk.
I don't know. I'm not vibing.
So you couldn't move is what you're saying.
I All right, I had a long show on Saturday. It was over 4 hours long.
Oh, so you were, it's more about you than the parade going.
So you were agitated.
So I was trying to get here extra early to make sure everything was prepared and ready to go.
Yeah.
I gave myself an extra 30 minutes.
And you didn't
And
make
I
it.
Needed every single one of them.
Okay. You probably should have taken Marta. It's smarter.
Yeah, and then ride with. I'm sure that would have been a pleasant experience.
What about, a scooter?
Grumpy McGrumpstein on a St. Patrick's Day over
well,
here.
What about a scooter or something like that?
Yeah. Well, then I would have had a chance of injuring like a small child or something.
Did you
if
consider
I
another alternative, like going up a block over, going up West Peachtree?
Everything was closed, Mike. All right. I couldn't. It was Peachtree or nothing.
Where were the cops?
They were all over.
I don't know what the hell, Chris. I've never experienced what he's talking about on a St. Patrick's Day parade on Peachtree Street.
Did you not stop a police officer and say, sir?
So it was a minefield,
I need a walkway.
A minefield of drunken shenanigans on the sidewalk?
Yeah, it was just people traffic everywhere. Everyone
I'm trying
had
to get to work, sir.
Everyone,
can you help me?
Right. Everyone had their dogs and their kids.
The humanity.
It was fun. And have a blast.
You know what's funny? You sound like Mike about 5-6 years ago. Everybody had their dogs and their kids on the street. I couldn't move. That's funny.
No, but I say there's certain days you just got to go with the flow. St. Patrick's Day, NBA All-Star Weekend. You just got to know you're not going anywhere.
What does go with the flow on NBA All-Star Weekend look like?
In other words, just enjoy the party.
Just enjoy what you see.
You're not
just
going anywhere.
Get down with it.
Traffic was a B back then. But, all right, man, are you cool?
Yeah, it's fun. Again, I'm all about the party, pal. I love it. I'm right there with you.
You are decidedly not very cool right now, Chris.
No. Just stay where you're supposed to stay. Line up on the curb, observe, view, drink, and be merry.
Just get out of your way.
Just get out of the sidewalk, please and thank you.
He sounds like a dude who was about to make his way to the suburbs very soon when Chris Thomas is.
All right, this just coming down, and we'll obviously get more into this with Connor Riley. We'll see what he knows. Big news, guys. G-Day, it's not going to be on TV.
Not even on SEC Network?
It was just announced that the annual spring scrimmage, known as G-Day, will not be televised this season.
That's interesting.
The University of Georgia is reportedly choosing not to have its spring game aired nationally this season, and it will not be available to fans who do not attend the game in person.
So is this like the blowback from that Nebraska nonsense? I mean, but we've talked about this with college football experts, Carl. Guys know who's on Kirby's roster.
Of course.
I mean, and you'll read, there'll be an account or there'll be an articles written about what happened. I mean, I don't know. To me, this seems jive. Come on.
Yeah, the game is free, to Oren's point. For those of you who have never maybe been to the spring game, it is free. It is as we like to say, a glorified practice. But more than anything, you know, it's a game atmosphere. There are referees. They are running offense, defense. They're running real sets and plays. But, Mike, I don't like this. And I don't know what the reasoning is. Or, you know, we can assume that it's the blowback from the stuff we've been talking about. But I just don't like this. There are a lot of dog fans around this state and around the Southeast, Mike, who can't make the spring game,
right?
Who want to watch this.
See what's going on. Get to take a look at the depth charts, see how you're, you know, a big recruit that you follow or the player from your local high school, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I understand that Kirby, and we've said this the other day talking with Connor Riley, and I think Seth Emerson kind of felt the same, but he wasn't prepared to say Kirby doesn't want it, but I think Kirby doesn't want it. I think Kirby wants this thing to go away and just have an extra day of practice.
I think it's going to be a situation where, unfortunately, guys, this becomes the new normal.
Yep.
As much as
you mean no TV or the game itself?
Yeah, no TV. Apparently, UGA has opted to produce behind-the-scenes video packages.
Oh, yeah, they're going to do that for their digital content.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to put that out on their site so that whenever you go see what is going on with the dogs, absolutely, but that makes sense. But, yeah, I just don't like it because I know there are a lot of dog fans. One of our neighbors, Sally, her mom has been a dog fan. She's in her 90s now.
Wow.
Okay. She watches Braves games every night. She watches Georgia games every Saturday. And for something like this, she probably knows more about the program than most people who, you know, who just call themselves casual fans. And I'm guaranteeing you, once she finds out that the spring, because she just said the other day, when's the spring game on? And I was like, oh, it'll be on, you know, G-Day, regular April. And she's going to lose her mind thinking about the fact that she's not going to be able to watch her dogs and figure out who the new players are. I'm just telling you that, and that's an extreme, you know, example for someone.
She's an alpha fan.
Correct. But there are tons of people like that who cannot make the game who are interested in what's going on with the dogs. So I just don't like it from that standpoint because I do know the interest is there.
All right. As fun as it could be, I want to know if you think he could actually make a difference. Jameis Winston is rumored to be the Giants' pivot point if they don't get Aaron Rodgers, because they have one quarterback on their roster right now, and it's our boy Tommy Cutlets,
okay.
Tommy DeVito.
Ew, oh!
But as we know, Shane and Dable are on their last legs there.
Right.
So can Jameis Winston, yeah man, no man, play just good enough in 2025 for the Giants to keep their jobs?
Like, I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
I love Jameis. I support Jameis. And even, again, he did put it to us in that game, last game of the season 2 years ago in New Orleans. But I don't think, Carl, he can sustain over a season. You know, for, I mean, he's to me, he's like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He can give you a couple of games. Gardner Minshew, he can give you two or three where he can really pull something out. Even Flacco's like that now. But he can't sustain it over a regular season.
I agree. And look, that's the fundamental problem. Like, when you start saying who's out there, what makes sense, what can really help our football team, I'm with Mike on this. I don't think that that's the answer. I just don't. But can he sustain you through a season? The answer is no, but he can help you, if that makes sense.
If you need a spot start, a couple of games, you know, he showed you the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that's kind of like what you saw recently, the sample size in Cleveland. He can win a game for you. He can throw a pick. You know, he's a wild man. He really is. Man. He's a wild card. Totally unpredictable. Plays by the seat of his pants, like Maverick in Top Gun.
Well, he could throw a lot of touchdowns to Malik Nabers. I mean, we could see what happens there, and then we'll see what they do. This guy's continuing to be a little bit of an oddball. Jordan Schultz, if you guys remember, a couple of weeks ago, got into that spat with Ian Rappaport at the Combine.
It was at the Starbucks at the outside the or inside of the stadium.
Yeah, and they had a little tete-a-tete there, and all quiet on the Western Front until now. Jordan Schultz claimed last night, and the timestamps actually prove it out, that he was the first person to break the news about T. Higgins and about Jamar Chase.
Right.
And NFL official media credited their guy, Tom Pelissero, as having the news. But it goes back that Schultz had the news, I think, about 13 minutes earlier. So he technically was the one to break the news.
And he had the story that Sean McVay ran into about recruitment of a quarterback.
Oh yeah, it was Matt Stafford and Tom Brady.
Right.
Had a chance meeting in like Aspen.
And Tom Brady was working on him to come to the Raiders. That's right.
Yeah. So the NFL tweets out, breaking: Bengals and wide receiver Jamar Chase agreed a record contract. Schultz quote tweets the tweet and says, "Nah." Then NFL media says Bengals and T. Higgins agreed a contract via Tom Pelissero. He quote tweets it and says, "Nah," and then in parentheses, again, yeah, man, no, man. You like this guy sticking up for himself like this, or is he making a mockery of his own sort of profession here?
I mean, you got to love yourself, Carl. No one else is going to love you.
You got to love yourself.
Make your way in this world, and the big dogs and the big brands get all the juice on these things. I mean, as long as you're giving credit to the guy, if the guy's got the story first and you don't credit him, then you're being a jerk. That's a violation of man law media rule.
Yeah, and look, how many times has anybody done what Mike's talking about? Usually they just put it out, right? They don't say, oh, by the way, now they may credit a friend. I've been told along with such and such that this is happening. But rarely is it, hey, by the way, Shefty had this first, and I'm going to go ahead and let you know that. You would think that they had it first based on how they reported. So I don't know, man. I just feel like once it's out there, everybody tries to claim that they had it first. And the way the system is, Mike, you might get it 2 seconds before I do or five minutes before I do, and all of a sudden you think that they had it. I don't know. Is it that big of a deal now? Look, I grew up in a media world where getting the story first was a big deal. I just don't know if it is now with all the digital outlets. I just don't. Guys get it, and it's out there. I mean, the fuss and fight about whether I got it 3 or 6 or 10 minutes before you did, I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it.
Well, in the rough and tumble world of NFL insiders, I mean, we know how these things can be. Oren, stay off my sidewalk.
Wow.
And hit my music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certain days, Carl, you just got to anticipate, you know.
Wow.
You're just not going to have the access you're used to on the sidewalk. But Chris, man, wow.
You have a beard, by the way? Yeah. Chris, you have a beard today, or what's going on with you?
Yeah.
With how snotty I sound now, I think I need some Mucinex and a warm tea.
All right. I mean, I would have just gone down to North Avenue, got on MARTA, Carl. Just take it over to the art station, art center, and you're right there, Chris.
The easy way to do it. You
know, avoid all those people.
All right, coming up, Connor Rotley's going to join us. We'll ask him about this. No G-Day on TV?
Huh?
What?
I think Kirby wants to kill this thing off, and they're going to do it passive-aggressively.
All right. We'll talk about it next.